Hey there, I'm Kevin Daisy.
And I'm Eric Olson.
You're listening to the Managing Partners Podcast, where we interview top lawyers about how they're growing their firms. Hey there, everyone. This is Kevin Daisy, and welcome to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. Excited to be recording this episode today. It's something that we're going to be talking about that we all struggle with as entrepreneurs. Again, whether that's a law firm business, me with a marketing company, it's just something that, you know, is, I think, is a struggle, not just in the beginning, but as we move forward. So anyway, excited to talk about some delegation here with our guest today, Nick. But first off, I want to have Nick introduce himself so you all know who he is, what his law firm is about. And Nick's coming from us, upstate New York area, and excited to dive into it today. So Nick, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Yeah, happy to be here. Like Kevin said, I'm Nick Paslakwa. We run an operation here called Paslakwa & Associates, where we represent people who've been charged with a crime or been seriously injured that don't deserve to have their lives ruined as a result. And as you said, we're based out of Utica, New York. We have offices in Syracuse. We cover about 18 counties up in central New York, primarily criminal defense and personal injury.
Yeah, and so for everyone listening, I took a look at Nick's website, of course, which is just something I always do. He's got a nice video on there and said almost what he just said. So he's got his message down and his name, too. I was like, I got to hear what his name, because I'm going to screw that up. So say your last name again.
Paslakwa.
Paslakwa. So I was like, you know, you got to be careful with some of these names. I might screw them up. But your message is spot on. So yeah, I watched the video on your website, which is nice, by the way, and very clear, concise. So just kudos on that. And also, you know, kind of like your story on the video, I saw, like, you've done a bunch of different stuff and you came from a law firm where you focused down into what you thought mattered and what you like to do.
Yeah.
Versus like, hey, I'm going to do everything under the sun. So I think that's a good move, and being focused. Obviously, niching is a big part of my business. And,
sure.
So kudos on that. So yeah, anyone out there listening, you want to connect with Nick along this, if you're listening, if you're watching this live on social media, wherever it may be, pop a note, pop a comment. Happy to connect you with Nick. And if it's a referral partnership, or if you just want to know how he's doing things at his firm, I'm sure he'd be happy to connect. So Nick, let's go, you know, let's dive into delegation. You know, obviously something when I started my company years ago was probably the hardest thing I didn't have anyone there to tell me to do these things back then.
Right.
And hiring that first person to do, it's a big risk. You're worried about it, you know, but it doesn't stop there. Right. So.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, I'm going to get into, you know, what you want to bring to the table today, and we'll just kind of riff from
there. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, when I started, I was at what would be considered a larger sized firm in our area. I was attorney, maybe 7 when I joined there, you know, and they're an old school firm. And in hindsight, you know, they did things and still to this day do things very old school wise, you know, but I left there and it was, in hindsight, I've been laughing about this because I've been asked a couple of times on a couple of podcasts, like I had no plan. You know, like watching podcasts, I'm a big personal development guy and stuff like that. So it's like, I really don't, that was crazy. I had no plan. I just knew whatever I was doing next, like this was not it. It was not a good fit for me. 2.5 years in, I had one hearing and one trial, you know, and when I interviewed, I was like, I want to litigate. That's what I want to do. If you want a guy sitting at a desk, you got the wrong guy. Like, I didn't care. That's what I said in the interview. And, you know, in hindsight, probably not the most strategic move because there was absolutely no strategy in it. It was just like, I'm not doing this any longer. Took some time, interviewed a bunch of different places, didn't feel like anything was right. Started getting some random referrals from people I used to work with at that firm. And at some point just said, you know what? I can't keep meeting people in coffee shops. So May 1st, 2013, I formally opened up as a solo attorney. Hung a shingle, rented an office from an attorney who was friends with my parents. Nice. And for about 3.5 years, that was it. I didn't have a secretary. I didn't have a paralegal. It was me, myself, and I.
That's awesome. Very similar story to me. I actually used to work in an engineering firm doing like civil engineering, land development, stuff that I'm still interested in. It's kind of cool. But and I was like, I'm going to start a marketing company doing websites. No plan, quit, no savings, nothing. You know, just not a thing. But you know, it's very similar to your story. It's like, you know it, you feel it. That's enough.
Yeah.
You don't need to have all those other things. And I kind of miss those days to some degree because it's like, you know, you're just like, I have $0. Like this is going to work. It's got to work. And there's nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing else I can do. So I love those kinds of stories. And honestly, those are the ones that are usually successful. Like the people that are like, I'm going to plan this perfectly and I'm going to quit in 3 years from now. And then I'm going to.
Yeah, because that you're right. When you set out a road detailed roadmap, it usually never unfolds that way anyways.
Yeah, there's a bump in the road. You stop. You go right. Different. You know, so it's yeah. So I love that. And so 2013, go on your own three and a half years. And
yeah, so it was like February
at that point.
I just, like you were saying, I was kind of just taking whatever in to pay the bills, right? It was like, let's get established, let's get a cash flow going. And, you know, rounding out the end of 16, you know, I was just me. So it wasn't a huge backlog, but I had a little stack of stuff that I was procrastinating because I just didn't enjoy whatever that type of work was. And I just said, look, the work's going to keep growing. I'm either going to hire somebody to help me with this, or I've got to shift and like niche down just as a solo even, you know? Yeah, and I said, you know what? I've always toyed with this idea of having a firm. I had no idea what that looked like at the time. You know, some days I still don't.
You were just Nick then. That was it.
That's it, you know? And so I made my first hire February of 2017. And like in a week, the backlog was clear. And I was like, oh, it was like the aha moment. Like the light bulb went off. I was like, this is how it works. Where can I hire more people? I was like, I understood it. Like, okay, by July, we had hired our first associate. So it was me, an associate, one support staff. We hired our second support staffer in October and made an offer for an attorney to start in January of 2018. And so we're like, great, everything's going great. We actually early, like first week of November, on board with a case management software, which was a big deal for us at that time, only being four employees. And 2 weeks later, I was out of office for 2 months. My 7-week-old daughter was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
Wow.
And it wasn't like, take some time and strategize your delegation since you won't be there for 2 months. It was like, overnight, figure this out or you're out of business. You know. And we were a single income household at the time. My ex-wife, my wife at the time, was a registered nurse by trade, but she had stopped working the year before when we had our son.
Sure.
You know, and so whatever we had in place, I kind of had to lean on and try to tighten up whatever elementary, you know, delegation and task assignment system that we had at our disposal back then. And I had to trust that, you know, the three people that I had working for me at the time.
Wow. Yeah. And then of course, everything takes, you know, that's pride over everything.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I would try and work an hour or two in the mornings, go home, change, drive an hour to the hospital where my ex-wife and daughter were so that she could shower, change, go eat, get out of the room. I'd stay there till 2-3 in the morning, drive an hour back. Wow. So needless to say, I think the first 20 days I'd lost like 25 pounds.
Hey there, this is Kevin Daisy, your host and founder of Array Digital. If you're tired of wasting money with agencies that just can't get it done, then please check out my law firm, digital marketing agency, at ArrayDigital.com. If you contact us there, you'll be sure to line up a meeting with me where we'll walk through your exact situation and come up with a plan for what you can do to improve your marketing results. I look forward to talking to you. Now back to the show. So, you know, the story obviously is you're not expecting that. You didn't plan for that.
Right.
We all think everything's just going to be good today and
yeah, yeah, or we just no always assume we're going to have a runway,
yeah,
you know, to like, oh, something's coming. I have time to set up for it. Like, not always, unfortunately.
COVID, right? COVID, no one's even heard of that. Never happened before.
Right, exactly.
I had a young lady, she's a lawyer, on the show back in like 21 or something like that, I think it was. And actually, it might have been, I think she was on my show like 2020, 2021. And she reached out to me like a year later and said, hey, Kevin, could I come back on the show? I was like, what you got to talk about? She's like, well, I got sick. I got COVID. I was in the hospital and she was a solo. And she was literally like laptop in her bed with a ventilator on trying to like keep things. And she had no income, no support.
Yeah.
And her whole episode, which if I had the number of episodes, which one it was, I'll share it in the comments. But it was a crazy story. Like she just had no clue, didn't plan for it. And she was working basically, could barely breathe. And she came back out of that, obviously putting things in place and getting serious about, you know, having some people to support her and putting some systems in place. But yeah, crazy. But she could have gone out of business. Yeah. She didn't. But
yeah,
pretty early in her business life too, like about a year into it, she had that bam.
Yeah. Like I said, I had just hired. We were 10 months into my like first ever hires, wow. You know, so it was wild. And if I hadn't like her, I would have probably been out of business. I probably would have just hung it up and been sending resumes from bedside with my daughter.
Well, and you know, obviously you got lucky with some hires that were good, but sure. Not all your hires are good. Not my first hire.
Right.
So it was not,
right.
Not what I expected. So it's not just when you're small and you're trying to start out, you don't really know all the things to look for. Who's the good fit to hire? And who's, you know, you don't really have that. You don't have the luxury, obviously, at that point, I don't think. But if you just find some good people, you know, that you can bring on that really see the vision, they want to work for you, they care.
Yeah.
In a situation like that, that's going to definitely matter for sure.
For sure.
Wow. That's crazy. Well, tell me like what that did, you know, from where you're at then versus coming out of that versus kind of where things are today and
sure.
A little bit more about your firm makeup today, like where you are.
Yeah. So coming out of that, obviously it really instilled that need for delegation and to build that trust with your teammates. And honestly, if we hadn't rolled out a case management software 2 weeks prior, it would have been chaos trying to do work remotely as little as I could at that point even. But, you know, it really confirmed that not only is delegation necessary, you know, if you're going to try and scale or do anything, you know, in business, you got to lean into that. You got to be able to delegate. We can't do it all. I did it all for 3.5 years and I was driving myself nuts by the end of it. You know, it's like the example I've given before is like that one man band in the parades. Like he's got a bass drum strapped to his back and a harmonica around his neck and like cymbals on his knees. And like you can do it, but that's not really fun for that person. And like for very short amounts of time, or you're going to get burned out, you know? So it really instilled in me a need for those systems and procedures to be in place. And I mean, coming out of 2017 with making those hires, we 2x'd our revenue from 16, you know? And then in 18, we did it again. Meanwhile, she's still doing chemo. My wife and her are living 20 of every 30 days in the hospital for about 7 months straight. Then there was, you know, if she relapsed the year later and aggressive treatments and things, you know. But then in 2019, we slowed, you know, and because I had to be now not an hour away. I was going to be in New York City 8 or 9 days in a row every month for about 8 months. So I couldn't like race back and put a fire out. I couldn't check in at the office every day and put an hour or two of work in, you know, help put any fires out from the day before. So this was going to test those strategies that I had realized and kind of tried to tighten up. And quite frankly, the systems broke, you know, but for the best reasons, because we had a spike in our volume, you know, and the systems we had set up weren't set up to handle that volume. You know, and so we were able to step back and tweak them a bit at the end of 2019 when her treatment kind of slowed down again. And then pandemic, like we just said, I mean, nobody saw it coming. I mean, up here by New York, we had 100-plus-year-old law firms going out of business. You know, we were 3 years old, 4 years old at the time, maybe, you know, really, well, in terms of a firm, not the practice, but in terms of like a firm, we were barely 3 years old and we had a 49% revenue growth in 2020 over 2019. Wow. Because of that, we had tightened all that up because I was forced to work remote and I got all those systems in place. I remember we met because I was in Grand Rapids, actually, the weekend like leading into the pandemic. So like the crap hit the fan, like, what was it? March 16th, Tuesday, March 16th.
Yeah, March. Yep.
And so I was in Grand Rapids with my now ex-wife and my daughter for treatment, like 12th, 13th, 14th. Wow. We come back. And I remember having a meeting with the firm at that point, which I think we might have been 6 people on Monday, and saying, okay, what are we going to do? Sounds like the world's going to shut down tomorrow. Should we all just start working from home tomorrow? And luckily, we had the systems in place. We had the technology in place at that time that it was nearly seamless. You know, everyone was fielding calls. We'd still jump on a morning huddle call. I would send out morning motivational emails from my daughter's bedroom, you know, to just keep everybody engaged. And we made it through it. You know, and had a great revenue growth because we were able to operate almost as efficiently as when we were all in office, you know? So it really, it was kind of, you know, perfect synergy in the timing of how kind of everything unfolded for us, because it's like, as we were putting things in place, little did we know we'd need them so significantly for almost a year thereafter, but it kind of fell in line for us.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think some things take, you know, experiences and problems to fix them, right? It has to have some pain In your case, you had no choice, right? You had no choice.
Right.
Versus, you know, someone listening right now going, you know, I'm fine. You know, it's just me and a virtual assistant somewhere in the Philippines. And, you know,
I've told people. It's like, look, I'm proof positive that unfortunately you never know when that call's coming, when you might have to be away from your office for a week, a month, 6 months. It just, unfortunately, I've lived it and it sucks, but it can happen.
Yeah. And I hear there's a lot of like mastermind groups and other folks out there that they kind of preach, take a month off with ever not checking in your office, right? Take 2 months off without being in your office at all. And kind of selling that dream of the law firm that you want. But then but there's no pain to get there, right? You don't have to walk away from your office for 2 months. In your case, you didn't have a choice, right? So lessons definitely stick when there's a failure or a problem or something that you just can't do. So, which is why I'm excited, you know, you're telling us, you know, what happened to you, but, you know, what you've done to fix it. And hopefully the story will resonate with people to go, wait a minute, I need to get serious about these things and make sure that this doesn't happen to me. So, so where are you? I mean, great. You had growth. I know a lot of good firms that had growth during COVID, which is great. I think the older, bigger established ones saw pullbacks and probably lost a lot of revenue. Mm-hmm. A lot of younger firms, agile, you know, built up with technology.
Yeah.
You are going video. I was on video calls like in 2017 with a full team.
Yeah.
So for me, that was COVID was not a big deal there. It was more clients canceling because they didn't want to market because they didn't think they could afford it.
Right.
But still, we weathered that and we grew too. Didn't lay anybody off. We only hired people, actually, I think. So tell me some of the good at the end of that. Like, so you had some growth. Where are you at now and kind of what's your...
Yeah, like I said, beginning of that time frame, 2020, I think we were maybe 5 or 6 total staff, 3 attorneys, including myself. And later that year, Law Firm 500 named us 36th fastest growing law firm in the nation from our revenue growth from 16 to 19. It was like 290% or something.
Wow.
Which was cool. But I mean, you know, that and $5 to buy a cup of coffee. And so... It was neat, but I don't, that stuff is cool to me, but it's not, it doesn't pay the bills. It doesn't do anything for me next year, you know, but from there we continued to scale. We've had some turnover, which I, you know, maybe you've been told the same thing. I was told that certain revenue markers, you're going to turn over at least 80% of your staff. And I was that guy who was like, no, we've got a great culture. We're the exception to that rule. We'll prove that wrong. Nope. Like almost exactly when I was told it would be happening, we had turnover like that, you know. And
I had the same thing. I was like spot on. And I was the same as you were. Oh man.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
I love my people. They love me. They love it. They won't take you to.
That's exactly it. You just got to realize at some point they might be great people and great workers and they are maybe perfect to get you to this level. But at some point you got to understand those same people are just not the people that are going to get you to that next level. And it's okay. Like I've come to understand that because I kind of leaning into it again. We've experienced some turnover this year, but for all of the best reasons, right? To protect our culture, to protect our reputation, to protect the kind of work environment and work ethic that we have here, protecting our core values, you know, so that turnover, I don't ever mind. So
it's
now
I don't mind it anymore as much, but I think when you're starting out, it's kind of like, wait, what? You're leaving or we need to find someone else. It's, you know,
it's the worst. It's the worst because you just imagine everyone you hire is going to be here for a decade.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I guess, the ideal situation. But, you know,
unless
we are.
A bad boy.
Yeah, true.
Then you don't want them to stick around, right?
Exactly. You help them find a door. But we are now, I just made an offer today to another attorney. So once she starts, we will be a total staff of 14.
Nice.
We'll be 5 attorneys and the rest a support staff. We've got a sales and intake team of 3 and probably growing, maybe not before the year's end, but definitely next year. And we've got a criminal team of 4 and the PI team of now will be 4. And then myself, who I call myself the managing director. I usually only will carry a caseload of 2 to 5 cases, depending on our volume and need for it.
What you like?
More close to that 1 to 2, if I can help it. And then I'll cherry pick because my passion has always been trials. And if it happened frequently enough, I probably would never have scaled the firm because that's why I went to law school. That was always my passion. It still is. But it just happened so infrequently. I needed some other driving ambition that got me excited. And when I started hiring and scaling that, you know, business development really got me going kind of in a similar way. So I will cherry pick and help out on the trials I want and carry 1 to 3 cases typically. But the firm right now, I think we're sitting at about 625 active files between criminal and personal injury.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's, I love talking to lawyers that they find the passion in the business side of it. Right.
Yeah.
And know that, you know, while they love some of the work they do and doing the work, they know they can still do some, right? The cases that they
take. And that's what I like, cherry picking it.
Yeah. But then you can help and impact more people in your community if you grow the business and scale it.
For sure.
You're also helping the employees, right? They want a place to grow, to make more money, to have a career. You know, you're allowing that. If you stay small and don't grow, then you're not giving them opportunity.
Right. Absolutely.
And more likely that they leave at some point because, you know what, I just need more. Whether that's leadership or pay or security or whatever.
Right. Absolutely.
And so I think if you have a business that you're not growing, you're doing yourself a disservice, your community a disservice, and your employees a disservice. And then, of course, their families. So, and to do that, sometimes you have to get out of the way, right? You can't just do all the cases.
Absolutely. And I've told, like, my staff knows, like, look, my goal is to at some point be known as the firm that pays top of market, period.
Yeah.
Because then you'll get the best talent. You'll get the best paralegals coming because they'll go, everyone else offered me 40. I heard you're paying 60. Like, yep, come on over. Yeah, and then we can be much more selective. Yeah. And we can also be much more selective because we're saying, look, we're paying you top dollar. We expect top dollar A plus team player work. You know, so it cuts positively both ways, I think.
I mean, yeah. Again, I hear attorneys struggling with hiring attorneys. Like, I can't find a junior attorney, or I can't find an attorney that has like 2 or 3 years experience ever in this area. Or
yeah, we've struggled with that front too. Yeah,
but I think if you look at some of these ones I'm thinking about, like, their culture's not really defined and their brand's kind of shaky and they don't care about some things. They're great people. They work hard, but they're missing some of those elements that they just like, well, that's probably not that important to focus on. But you want top talent that is an A player, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to work on all these things.
For sure. My take on hiring, I have a very simplistic approach initially, is for the culture. I need you to at least like what you're doing, and I need you to at least like who you're doing it with. If either one of those two elements is missing, in my opinion, it's not going to work. Because if you love what you're doing, but you don't like who you do it with, you're going to come in, you may sit at your desk and crank out work, but you're not going to be engaged and involved and contributing to that culture, right? So you're kind of like the odd man out. It is what it is. If you really love who you work with, but dislike what you're doing, you're going to wander more. You're going to distract other colleagues because you want to chit chat. You want to chat with who you think is your buddy, but you're going to neglect the work because you don't really love what you're doing. So 100%. To me, you have to have that, some kind of a balance there, or it's really just misaligned from the get go.
I love that. That makes it really simple. I love that a lot because I always say, we hire and fire, culture, core values, culture. That's it.
Right.
But the way you put it, I like, because it is really those two things. You know what I'm saying? Oh, can you hear me? What happened?
you went mute for a second and something flashed on my screen, but then it went back to the countdown.
Oh, well, we can edit that out if we have to. Anyway, but no, so I love how simplistic you made that, because I'm always trying to explain that. And I talk about culture on here, all hiring and stuff like that. We have a girl right now that's been with us for a few years, and she was like, I don't believe in what we do now. But she wanted to like do some part-time work somewhere else for like a university or something like that. And she was just like, but I'm going to keep working for you guys. I want to go do this other thing. It's like, well, if you don't have a passion for the work that we're doing, that's done. Like, there's no recovery.
Yeah. You don't phone it in.
There's no recovery from that. You can't even go back on what you just said. It's impossible.
Right, right.
So those are good points. That's a very simple way. So, passionate about what you're doing, you're going to do the right things. You're going to do good work, and you're going to find ways to do it better just because you're passionate about it. And then if you like who you're working for, the same. Like, you're going to look out for them. You're going to do the right thing.
Right. Yes. You'll not mind offering peer-to-peer accountability. You can receive peer-to-peer accountability without getting defensive because you know you're a part of this team. You're bought into the team nature of what we're doing.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, you have to, if you have those two things, I think you're good. Are you the best lawyer, or do the best law work in the world?
Yeah, and because here's the thing. I can teach some, like, criminal law tactics. I can teach you personal injury approaches to these type of cases. Two things I can't train you on, or that I just don't have the bandwidth to: attention to detail and work ethic. So as long as you can mesh and you have a personality that seems like you would fit in with the cultural aspect of the non-production, so long as you like the production work we're hiring you for, and it looks as though you have an attention to detail and work ethic that I don't have to micromanage because I won't teach those things.
Yeah.
That's really, as to me, trying to niche it down to, like, those are the four things I need from a hire.
Yeah, I like that. And then And then it sounds like, you know, you're in a position where, hey, I'm trying to get stuff off my plate. I'm going to cherry pick some cases that I want to, and here's my role over here. I think you're a point too. Like, if someone say they like you, but they don't like what they're doing, they're the employees that come with new ideas. And what if I did this over here? What if we did this new initiative over there? And you're like, you know, they're straying, like you said, from
exactly. Doing, yeah, it's like master what I've asked you to do first.
Yeah,
then we can look to out there
as, oh, I got a new idea.
Yeah,
and you're just like, wait a minute, like, we need this done over here.
It's really a self-serving like proclamation to try and get them away from what they don't want to do.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. So there's some pretty good rules to hire by right there. So about a delegation, you know, obviously you moved pretty quickly into a role where you're working on some cases that you want to work on. You're managing the firm. What would be some things that, you know, coming up, like with areas that you need help with, or new problems maybe you've discovered that you need to hire more people to delegate stuff to? Or in the case of, you know, say you have like an assistant and they've been there a while and they've moved up and they have to delegate to someone under them, right? So it starts to get more complex. But maybe if you speak to kind of some of those things that you see, like what's the next phase or areas that you feel like you need to work on?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're in that right now. The woman who runs our criminal department, she's been with us 4 years, but we got her young and she's developing those leadership skills. And so I've been trying to, you know, like I said, I'm big on personal development. I do lots of audiobooks and regular books. And so I said, hey, why don't you read this one? Why don't you, you know, and being younger, at first it was like, she's running to the paralegals. Cause I think one of the books I had to read was How to Be a Better Boss. I wasn't suggesting she was not a good boss. Right. But so she takes it, runs to the paralegals. Am I a bad boss? Like, he gave me this book to read. I'm like, it's not what it's about. It's just advancement. Right. Like to me, we've had a statement around here, like the status quo of yesterday is no longer acceptable today. So for me, it's like whatever my baseline was yesterday, I can do at least 1 degree, 1% better today. And that's just how I kind of approach most things. You know, The Compound Effect is a book that I try and read every year by Darren Hardy. And it just talks about the aggregation of say that again.
Sorry, I said I've never read that one. What was it called again?
The Compound Effect. It's a quick read, Darren Hardy. And it just speaks about that, the aggregation of marginal improvements. It's, you know, saying, look, everybody wants to go 0 to 100 overnight, but you don't need to. You need to take 1% improvement a day in whatever aspect of your life. And in 100 days, you're 100% improved. As long as, like, you know, and I've said this in some of my other presentations I've done. It's like, look, we all want to know how to get from here to there the fastest. And guess what? There's a million ways to skin a cat. Doesn't really matter. Whatever way you took to get from here to where you want to go may be and probably is going to be a completely different route than I take, right? And it is what it is. But there's only one way to eat an elephant. There's one bite at a time.
One bite at a time.
Because otherwise you choke and die. And it's the same thing. You know, we all want our law firms or our businesses to, we all will say if asked, oh yeah, I'd love to go from 3 million to 30 million, like overnight. Guess what? It wouldn't happen. You know, like, it's funny that I was watching one of my other talks the other day and it resonated with me with my daughter, right? It's the same thing. When I found out she had cancer, I wanted it gone the next day. Gone. I want it gone. Give her what you got to give her. So it's gone. And guess what? That's kind of what happened. They gave her aggressive chemo like the next day after we got to the hospital. And guess what? That almost killed her. Not because of the chemicals, because she went into kidney failure. It's called tumor lysis syndrome. Her kidneys couldn't filter out all of the chemicals she was being given and all of the tumor particles that were being broken down. Mm. So guess what? I thought I wanted it gone overnight, except that also could have killed her.
Yeah. Wow.
That will kill your business. Everybody wants this accelerated, how fast can I double? How about how fast can you develop systems, policies, and procedures so that if you do, your wheels don't fall off?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it'd be a disaster if you grew that fast.
Yeah. And it's like everybody wants that. Everybody ignorantly longs for that type of accelerated growth. And I mean, I was no different through my experiences through business and life and health and whatever. It's just become clear that fast is good. Too fast is very, very bad. You know, it's almost worse than going too slow.
Yeah, no, I've been there. And yeah, I think it was a good point too that you shared with, which I've seen exactly what, probably the same point, that your team's not always going to be there forever. And if once you hit a certain point,
you got to retool. Actually, like the pandemic was a great thing for us, for our business. because we grew so rapidly. Like I said, 16 to 19, we grew almost 300%. Our business growth far, far outpaced our business development. And why? Because we were so dang busy. I kept telling myself, oh, I don't got time. I don't have time to crunch those numbers. I don't have time to figure out this number or that metric. Or, and at the pandemic, I'm sending these motivational emails in the morning and then sitting back going, I literally have nothing but time right now. I have no excuse to not dial in every number I need to know. And I did, because I just literally had nothing else to do at that point in terms of, you know, file maintenance and anything else. I was like, let's figure it out. And that's when I just had like eye-opening aha moments and was like, oh my God, I spent how much on marketing? Because I said it and forget it. And then I was like, whoa, yep, not doing that. You know, I learned the hard way that you have to watch and what gets tracked can be managed.
Well, Nick, I appreciate you sharing your stories today. It's crazy experiences that you had and things that put you on the path that you're on today, of course, and hopefully.
Yeah, man, happy to share.
Hopefully no one else has the same type of experience, but, you know, they can learn from the, you know, what's happened and
for
what
sure
you had to do and you had no choice. So yeah, appreciate you sharing and yeah, everyone out there, you know, take this stuff serious. Make sure you have these things in place. Like what would happen if you're gone for a month, you know, right now?
Yeah.
Think about it right this second. Month, nothing you can do to show back up. What would happen to your business, your employees, your staff, your family? If it doesn't look good to you, then you probably need some you need to work on some stuff.
Yeah.
Which we all do. We all do all the time.
Oh, for sure. It's all an evolution. It's constant. It's constant. So long as you're willing to accept that fact.
Yeah. Well, I saw Nick in the before we started recording. Like, I think the challenge thing is, you know, delegation obviously is something that I've been doing for a while, but I still struggle with. Something new comes about, new project, new, you know, I have three different companies, like, you know, oh, let me go over there. Let me help out. And, you know, so you want to do things and you sometimes get stuck back into.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
For
why
sure.
Why am I doing this stuff?
So you gotta delegate. And it can be all sorts of things. Like sometimes I find myself doing it because I realize like I'm doing it because I want my employees to see me doing it. Because as much as I can tell them, hey, guess what? I did wear every hat in this business. Every role, I did that in some way, shape, or form before, you know, but sometimes I feel like it doesn't land until they like see me taking the trash out or like, you know, making this closing the sale and helping the intake team, which I don't mind doing any of it, you know, but that way, because I'm big on like, I'm never going to ask anybody to do anything that I wouldn't do myself, period. Yeah. You know,
no, that's a good point. I mean, it's funny, I probably half my staff is like, I used to build websites and do marketing and do all the work, right? They're like, Kevin probably couldn't make a website if he wanted to. So every once in a while, yeah, you gotta show up and be like, ah, watch out. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta show what's up. That's awesome.
For sure. For sure.
So, well, Nick, anything else you want to share? I want to make sure people connect with you, of course. What's the best way for them to reach out and get a hold of you?
Yeah, obviously anybody can find me on all major social media platforms, LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever. We've got our firm's got a presence there. The law firm website is cnytriallaw.com, Central New York. Like I said, we cover pretty much all of New York State for the most part. And we've got colleagues and we get cases nationwide that we're referring out. So if you got something up in our neck of the woods too, feel free to reach out.
Awesome. I appreciate that. At least your .com's not your last name, because they'd be like, what? How do I spell it?
Yeah, that would be bad. That's why we stayed away from it.
Well, Nick, I appreciate you coming on to share today your story and what you've done and how you've been successful with your firm. Hopefully someone's picked up some good lessons. And, you know, I know for me that it's a good refresher for me, because it's easy to get, you know, again, stuck in doing stuff you shouldn't be doing, not delegating, not improving, right? Not up in your technology game.
Yep.
These days with AI and stuff like that out there, like we got to be on it. Like
it's moving fast.
It's moving fast. So. Nick, stay on with me for just a moment. We'll let the recording kind of update. And everyone, have a great day and go grow your businesses, but do it smart. Or I'm going to send Nick over to have a talk with you.
We'll appreciate see you all soon.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening. We have been producing this podcast for years, have had hundreds of guests, and produced hundreds of episodes. We don't ask for much, but I do have one ask. If you find value in this podcast, please share it with one person just like you. The best way to do that is to send them to ArrayDigital.com, where we have a full library of all the episodes that they can sort by practice area and or state. So again, we appreciate you listening, and thanks for sharing.